Hello, listeners. You're welcome to another episode of The Barman's Barbecue. Here we examine sacred cows. We roast them and serve them as it is hot.
Hi, guys.
Hello. What's happening?
I always start with hi, guys. I don't know why.
Yeah, good day. Yeah.
Happy Sunday. I call this podcast on Sunday.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Tools for manifestation.
Tools for manifestation. I don't like to call it...
It's not what you told me. You told me tools for manifestation. Are you making me look bad on this podcast?
I said technologies.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's true. It's a tech word.
Yeah, so it's we are discussing technologies, but for spirituality. How do you say that? So, this is Uber, but for
books. When are you got in a technology, so this for spirituality?
This is technology, but for spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. So we just explore different technologies that I've picked.
On our spiritual journeys.
Yeah, like, you know, so stuff that work, how it works. Yeah, I hope. So it's just like a primer course, so you can go and maybe explore more. Right, so, yeah, so Bella, any technology?
My favorite, meditation.
Okay, yeah, so right, walk us through on meditation.
I don't know if I can walk in the meditation. I'm not really that place where. Anyway, I don't even meditate. I was telling Tony the other day, I haven't started meditating on my own. So I use meditation audios.
Okay, so I upload them. Guided meditation.
Yes, there's one with Daniel Laporte, there's one with those people that sent me. What are they called?
Okay, the Center for Action and. Is it a reconciliation?
Yes.
Or something?
Then
that's,
there's one with
Richard Rowe.
Oh, okay. So Daniel Laporte, Richard Rowe, and Dr. O.
Yeah.
I do it like every morning.
Yes.
Dr. O one used to scare people in my area. The other day, I was asking, what kind of sound is that? What was she even asking me? What kind of music is that? I'm like, it's not music, it's meditation.
Yeah, so Dr. O's one is really, really spooky.
Yeah.
It has this sound behind, and it now feels like maybe you are practicing astral projection.
Yeah, it's something. But I like the way it ends. Oh my God, I love the way it ends. Yeah. There's one day I was feeling bad, I was listening to it. At the end, it just does 1, 2, 3, get up. And I just got caught up, and I felt better.
Yeah. So that's...
Do you meditate?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, so there is meditation that has to do with motoring. Right, or like you have a scripture, a Bible verse, or an idea, and you say it to yourself over and over again. Yeah, so I feel like a major shift that happened to me happened when a period where I was really meditating on a particular verse of scripture. I am strengthened with might. Somewhere in Ephesians 3:16-20, I am strengthened with might by God's Spirit in my inner man. Christ dwells in my heart by faith. I am rooted and grounded in love. I comprehend with all the saints what's the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God, which is knowledge, and I am filled with all the fullness of God. So sometimes I'm just walking on down the road and I'll just be saying, I am filled with the fullness of God.
Yeah.
I am filled with the fullness of God. I am filled with the wisdom of God. I am filled with the kindness of God. I am filled with the mercy of God. So I do that meditation where, especially a walking meditation, where I'm walking, pacing the floor and just picking any promise of God or any word from scripture and be saying it to myself. So the aim is for the word to get out of your head and into your heart. Because once it takes root in your heart, you basically become it. Yeah, so so for me, that's kind of like my favorite mode of meditation. Oh. But then I think what Bella is talking about has to do more with maybe breathing.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, I grew up on confessions, something like this. Yeah. When we were young, my mommy was big on confessions. So I've kind of like swapped confessions for meditation. Not that they are not. I think at some point, confessions, I just started saying it. Not like I still think of. There's how muscle memory. So all the words in my head. So they're not like, I think meditation, what meditation brings is makes you focus
on
those things that you're saying. So you're focusing, you're breathing, seems like you're in an otherworldly space. So
yeah, I think it reminds me of one article I read again by I think Richard Rowe shared it. But kind of like music or those chants.
Yeah.
You know, so the words accompany. So first, you know, so there is meditation that we are just breathing. So I will call that a deep breathing. Yeah. So there's the breath, then there is the word. When word mixes with breath, there is kind of like intentionality.
Yeah. So it's more intentional.
Then there is the music, rhythm, you know, and the sound, the vibration. So there's a lot to like different kinds of meditation. But yeah, so let's talk about even deep breathing. So for me, one of the major like source to understand breathing was Wim Hof. Right, so there is Wim Hof and even Dr. O. I remember when I first heard a particular sermon in his podcast, he talked about Yodhe Vavi. Right, it was like so Yodhe Vavi, which is it's called the tetragrammaton, which means four letters. So the tetragrammaton is the four letters, an unpronounceable name for God, Yahweh. Right, so it's the English language or our English transliteration that pronounces Yodhe Vavi as Yahweh or Jehovah, but you know it's unpronounceable. Yeah, it's just Yodhe Vavi, like that's it. So the and that's so in Richard Rohr's book. In Richard Rohr's book,
Falling Upon.
Yeah, so it's the Naked Now, learning how to see how the mystics see.
Oh, okay.
So in the Naked Now, Richard Rohr talked about how to the Hebrew mystics, Yodhe Vavi, right? The actual pronunciation is your inhalation and exhalation. Mm. So with every breath you take, right, you're actually calling on the name of the Lord. And for me, I feel like it's the greatest hack, or like God's cheat. You know, there's a Bible verse that says that he that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you see why I'm a universalist. So with every breath you are breathing in, you are calling on the name of the Lord, and guess what? You are alive. Yeah, so Yodhe Vavi, the tetragrammaton. So I think initially I was, like I still do, sometimes when I want to breathe, I'll just like, yo.
Yes, that's how doctors go. They see, breathe in you. They say, there is a past PS. That's how doctors go. Another thing I think, apart from spirituality, for health folks, they'll tell you like one of the pillars of good health is deep breathing. So
yeah,
it helps your health too.
Yeah, so I think in Wim Hof's book, The Wim Hof Method, he spoke extensively about cold exposure and deep breathing.
The moment so exposed, obsessed with doing this cold, puffing this ice block.
So, yeah, I've not gotten ice yet, but yeah, we'll do it. But deep breathing. So,
and I just think it's good for, like, in this fast-paced world, meditating is that place where everything just sort of slows down and you're more focused and intentional. So yeah, meditation is my favorite.
Yeah, and I think it was Jim Quick that talked about, yes. So where your attention goes, your energy flows.
Mm. And like Daniel Webb's meditation is a good way to decide what emotions you want to feel throughout the day. There's always like your deep desired feeling. So it's a way to like sort of set your day based on how you want it. So,
yeah.
Yes.
So deep breathing. And then, so yeah, and, while we are still on the breath, the meditation, maybe we're just talking about another technology, prayer. So one time I was thinking about prayer. So prayer is a technology for manifestation. You know, that's why virtually every church prays. Or
that's not the first thing when I think of prayer.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, it's not just like for manifestation. Right? Just like prayer is also what I would call witness. Right.
Okay.
So yesterday I was reading a book, just rereading a book. It was Grandmother in Paul Young's Crossroads. So Grandmother was with Anthony, and Grandmother was like the Holy Spirit, right, as Grandmother. So she was praying. Then Anthony was like, who are you praying to? Then she was like, I'm not praying to, I am praying with. Like, who are you praying with? I'm praying with you, right? So that just the presence. And I feel like, so in deep breathing, being present, being in, like you said, the eternal now, right? It's kind of like that prayer of, you know, consciousness, being present to God's goodness, glory, and grace that is all around you.
So that's how I see prayer, like communication with God. That's why I'm not so caught up with arguments about should it be long, should it be short, how should we pray. I just, nobody talks about should you be long talking to your father, or should you be short talking to your father, how do you talk to your father, do you talk a certain way, why not? Like people expect me to, I'm not vigorously physical, people expect me to know this, you know, this shaking head, I don't know how to pray that way, so, and they make me feel like I'm less spiritual for not knowing how to pray that, and I don't, prayer is communicating with God, so I don't know why we are all stuck upon, I think I'm stuck upon the wrong thing a lot.
No, but I think it's, again, that desire to... Yeah, so now, I can remember Dr. Wu's teaching on harvesting from heaven. So when I was thinking about harvesting from heaven, right, it was like, you know, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So everything you ever need, God has already given you. But now the thing is that it is delivered in spiritual materiality, right? It's kind of like as a spiritual material. So it's your desire and your words that crystallizes and sets the dimension. I mean, it's a scary idea.
No. How does this connect with praying vigorously?
How does it connect with praying vigorously? I'm not talking about how prayer, meditation, how prayer is a technology. That's where I'm...
So you just shifted my point of this. Oh my goodness. Okay, it's all right. Yeah. I don't forgive you, Shabba.
Yeah, so it's...
crystallization.
Yeah, so prayer... No, I feel... Okay, no, let me not judge anyone who is praying vigorously. I don't know why.
Sometimes they say they are not talking to God; they are talking to situations.
Yeah. So sometimes it's also the emotions, right? So again, now back to tying your desire, right? So how prayer works is that whatsoever you desire, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. So some people call this the prayer of faith, right? So when you pray, declaring or desiring a particular thing, and it will manifest.
I think what also changed my prayer was that stuff you taught me. Is it active listening prayer?
Okay.
Part where you pray and you also actively listen.
Okay.
So yeah, that is not just you talking. Yeah. You're actually listening to hear.
Yeah. So I think that's like how it's meant to be.
You get.
Yeah. So, but you get like Kenneth Hagin thought about the art of prayer or different kinds of prayer. So like, so there's that prayer of faith, or there is the prayer of commitment, or the prayer of surrender, different kinds of prayer.
I don't know. I don't like to think of prayer like different. It just stresses me out. Like, yeah, so if I want to pray now, I'll be like, okay, what kind of prayer do I need for this situation? I don't know. Yeah, it just stresses me out.
So, so, but I was going to tie, so desire. So God has already blessed you with everything you would ever need. So prayer is now like, so as a technology for manifestation, is now what we do to make what God has already given you to manifest. Right? It's not that because of you pray, God will now do what he did not want to do. So sort of
like set you in the frequency to receive it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there is this like perception of prayer. So prayer as a technology for manifestation to me is that when you pray, right, you place your... so God has... You know that God has already given you everything you would ever need.
Mm.
One verse in Peter says that according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we might be made partakers of the divine nature. And that verse is that all things are yours, whether life, death, principalities, powers, you know, the present, the future, all created things, Paul, Cephas, everything is yours and you are Christ and Christ is God. So the Bible seems to say that you already have, God has already blessed you. But then the question usually is that if God has blessed me so much, you know, why am I not seeing?
That is my question.
Yeah. Why am I not seeing what God has done? You know?
God.
So how can I make this manifest? So for prayer is one of those ways that I guess, you know, in Christianity we used to make what God has already given us to manifest. The other thing is so the other way to see Joe Dispenza has the book Becoming Supernatural, and I like how he explained like a particular technology for manifestation, which is visualization. So I feel like it ties to some kind of prayer. So like I started with meditation, so there's a particular thing I desire, I'll now be saying it. The idea is to have the picture in my heart, right? Because once it's in my heart, I've kind of like...
Is the picture not in your heart, not what creates the desire for you to have it in the first place?
What?
The picture you have in your heart, you know what triggers the desire in the first place?
No, many times, I think that what is in your heart many times is what you experience.
That I'm praying for.
No, I mean, so your current state and your current experience is a manifestation of your heart condition.
Okay, explain this to your visualization, because I'm seeing it like, okay, I want a car, so you have to have the picture of the car in your heart.
Yeah, so you have to believe. Say whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. So the thing is that many times, even though you are saying that you believe you have a car, many times, you know, when your logic, you know, and everything, that's like, how am I going to get this car? Am I not deceiving myself?
Yeah, cannot even drive self.
Yeah, cannot even drive self, you know, like, you know, and you talk yourself out of the frequency of a car owner.
Okay.
Right. So you don't actually believe it. So what you believe is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is it. So is his experience.
Okay.
Right. So the state of your heart at any particular point in time governs the issues of your life.
Okay. I think it's the point Jen Cicero was trying to make in her book, yeah, bad ass at making money, on how using language to, okay, her own POV was using language to sort of visualize, like not saying certain things so that your mind can be there. Like saying, I don't have money, I'll save up money for this phone.
Okay.
She'd rather say, okay, I'll buy this phone
yeah.
and put a date than saying, I'll save up money for this phone because you're putting yourself out of it. Okay.
And so, yeah, so just an aside, like, I feel like, you know, so sometimes there's how we can pray and it will keep us poor. Right? Because of like, so if you are praying from the place that you don't have or God will give you, then you are reinforcing the truth in your heart that you are not or you have not.
Okay.
And so your heart remains like the person who is constantly poor. And that is why sometimes even sowing seed can keep you perpetually poor.
Because you're sowing from a place of...
Because if you are sowing from a place that you God want, that God help me. But God has already given you
all things.
So, but if you believe that God has already given unto you all things that pertains to life and godliness, that you are abundant, that there is this river of living water flowing within you, so your heart and your being is already in the frequency of abundance, then as a man thinks in his heart, so is it.
So
your heart is already in the state of bliss, peace, joy, high energy. But when you are constantly agitated, afraid, you believe the lie that you do not have, you or you are not it, or you are not worthy.
Yeah, you make decisions based on that mindset, and you're not always. So you're like in a loop.
Yeah. So what prayer can then do for us is that it's now a place where we so. Because of our experiences, right, and the lies we've believed growing up, again, or feedback we have gotten from the environment, we are in a state where we believe that we do not have this stuff. So what prayer does is that, this is how I believe, but I know in my heart of hearts that it's a lie.
But then, doesn't the person now have to learn how to pray? Because if you're praying a certain way with a certain mindset, you're still going to be like in that loop. You understand?
Yeah, so I guess that's what. So what meditation does for us? Yeah, meditation, deep breathing, prayer.
But then again, what are they meditating on? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like these things have to be learned, unlearned and learned in a particular way to get. Because if you're meditating from that,
I think that's where we. So in Christianity, we believe in Jesus Christ that He is alive, and so it's a religion of encounter.
Okay.
Right. So, but it's encounter that shifts us from our loop, right? That, you know, that cycle of defeat or the lies we perpetually believe. So when Jesus comes to our space, our sphere, right, in our neighbor, in a vision, you know, in a sermon, in a song, right, in a neighbor, right, we then get to like think differently. We then get to now have new desires.
It's an aha moment.
That this is a possibility, right? And then we may break out from that loop. Yeah, but for some people, right, we just know in our heart of hearts that we are more than our current experiences.
Yeah.
So that calling from within,
is
what now stirs up to like kind of even pray or make those groaning. And now this takes us to tongues. Right,
so it's tongue, not prayer.
Yeah, it's also like not everybody speaks in tongues now. Not everybody wants to. But I'm just saying, like, so it takes us to tongues, glossolalia, where we
what?
So tongues is glossolalia. That's what tongues is.
Are you going to break that down?
No, I mean that's just the Greek word. There's nothing to break.
Okay.
Down. Yeah. So So is that a spiritual practice where, you know, so you know that you don't have the language that fits the experience you see in your heart of hearts?
Because human language is very limited. Yeah. Teaching my mother's words, human language has failed me.
Yeah, okay. And more so the English language.
Yes, that's even the worst. Ah, God.
You know, so so with tongues is that I have a picture in my heart, but I don't have the words.
Mm.
There's how I see myself and I perceive myself, but I don't have the others. How God sees me and perceives me, but I don't have the words to even address myself that way or talk about myself that way or paint my future that way. So then tongues comes in handy.
Mm.
I allow another, I allow the Spirit of God to paint new pictures as I speak with other tongues. Right? It's a technology for manifestation, for growth, for transmutation, whereby we can have new pictures in our hearts. And yeah, I was talking about Joe Dispenza and how one of the things he talks about is that for manifestation to occur many times is that we need to be in that frequency, right? Again, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if we are in a state of stress, defeat, or that if you plug yourself to a computer, you can see that anxiety, stress, defeat, and all those low quality emotions are actually characterized by low energy or low frequency, and you kind of like are in a survival mood, right? You're not in a place of creativity. You cannot produce, you cannot create anything new. But there are emotions like peace, right? Joy, right? Love, bliss.
Mm.
Those are high energy frequency where all things are possible, right? So if we can now learn to, so whether we pray, meditate, become quiet, and untether ourselves from our trauma, right? Bad religion, lies, different things, right? Like Joe said it, that the pattern is that we affect somebody somewhere at some place and some time, right? There's who you think you are at a particular point, place and time. But then the move is to move from somebody someplace at some time to becoming nobody at no place in no time, so that you can become everybody in every place in every time, right? So but the path from,
I understand the first two parts, but I don't understand why I want to be everybody.
No, so okay, so once you are nobody, right, it not sets you up to the possibility of becoming anybody or everybody.
I know,
or
what everything. I'm saying is, why do I want to be everything and everybody?
If you want to be everybody, I think it's that place of union, right, that you and your brother, that there's no difference between me and you. Right, then it's a true place of acceptance, love, not judgment or condemnation, that everybody is in. I am you, you are me, that kind
sort of like decentering yourself.
Yeah, you can say that, yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, so first you just become nobody or nothing. I am crucified together with Christ. Nevertheless, I live.
I thought first you are somebody or something.
Yeah, so
you are centered, then you decentered, to see the bigger picture.
Yeah, so first, remember Paul said that in Galatians 2:20, I am, so the I am, right, that is somebody at some place at some time. I am crucified together with Christ, right? So the crucifixion is that me becoming nobody, no one, no place, in no time. Nevertheless, I live, and the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. I now have the life of Christ, and the life of Christ is the life of the Creator, the one who created everything and upholds all things by the word of his power.
Okay, you have another two, because look,
only two tools. No. We've talked about meditation. We've talked about
prayer.
We've talked about visualization. Yeah, so let me just talk about visualization. How, like, what Joe Dispenza called mind movies, right? So
you like this mind movie? Yeah? I really don't care about it, but okay, go.
So, but yeah, it's just something. I feel like it's just a hack, something that will help your prayer. So instead of you just praying with your words, imagine I have
you create a video of all the things
you want to keep seeing it. Exactly. So instead of me to just use words in my prayer or my meditation, I can now use visuals, so just like a vision board.
I just did by going to YouTube and pulling all the lifestyles that I want and be like, okay, yeah, so Jesus, like,
yeah,
this.
Exactly. So that is it now. Oh, you're watching it. So, but deliberately, you can just have like 1 minute or 2 minute videos, concise of the specific things you want to see in your life, and then you watch. So what he does is that maybe you enter a suggestible state by looking at the calendar.
Guys, have you watched Winter Soldier?
Okay.
Where they used to
manipulate,
what is it called? Psychologically control them, where they keep wanting their phrase over and over and over and over and over and over ahead. That's it.
Yeah. So so basically, you can hack your. So the aim is to put your yourself in a state where you believe. That your
because you see it over and over and over and over and over.
You are not like it has not gone into your subconscious that you're a rich person.
Like an advanced method of fake it you make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think that's what maybe people do in the law of attraction. But yeah, so these are just some technologies.
Yeah, it's like why rich people keep being rich and their kids are rich because they don't know any other way than to be this way. Yeah. So
So they are conditioned to
keep producing that. Yeah, so
I'm learning to let go of. Technologies or like I call it magic. I still have some practices, but I'm just thinking about rest eventually. So because of sometimes you not be like, am I doing it right? Did I do this wrong or stuff?
But, no, just like come easy. Don't
exactly. Don't. So again, it's just entering the place of rest again, becoming nobody or nothing, no place in no time. It reminds me of someone who was explaining why I don't know. Why maybe occultists have a dark room in their house where nobody goes in. Someone's explaining that the purpose of such rooms or such places is a place where you go in to become nobody or nothing, where you go in to forget all you know so that the unknown can come to you.
How does this person know this? Is this person an occultist?
Yeah, so occult is...
Okay, it doesn't matter. But, we're not occult, is it?
The occult simply means hidden. So they just know something that you don't.
What I'm saying is that the person knows what they're going to do.
Yeah,
because of...
Yeah,
the person,
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
your friends are occult.
Yeah.
What are you an occult?
Yeah,
do I know the real you as I'm looking at you here? Am I safe?
Yeah, so occult means stuff that is hidden. So you don't know that. That's fine. Well, yeah, so we should not be afraid because of what Jesus said, that all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So there is no occultic power per se that is not the power of God.
So you can pick money on the floor. I won't turn the purple.
Yeah. All things were created for him, by him, and in him do all things consist. Which other two?
It's really a tool, because I think it's a tool.
Yeah, I think it's a good tool for contemplation. Right? I feel like, when I read that, I'm in a contemplative mood.
Explain contemplation again.
Yeah, so contemplation, even the legends like Thomas Merton and Co, who have books on contemplation, they can't even explain contemplation. They want to put me into trouble.
But you're using the big grammar. I mean, explain it the way you understand it.
No, that's so contemplation. A way I would explain contemplation is being beside yourself and observing yourself.
Okay.
Right, so it's a state where you are beside yourself, observing yourself, and that's why writing can also be a good tool for contemplation.
Is it a tool for manifestation too?
Yeah,
like already write poems.
Yeah, so
contemplation, concentration on spiritual things as a form of private devotion, mm-hmm. be a state of mystical awareness of God's being, an act of considering with attention, like to study, the act of regarding steadily. Okay, so I get that.
Yeah,
so yes.
So, like I said, like state of being beside yourself. And watching yourself.
And learning
too. Yeah, so it's entering into the garden of your heart and cultivating it, being aware of your thought processes.
He's reading now, okay.
So what, not just reading, contemplation generally. So even silent prayers, where you just sit down quietly, it's kind of like being in a contemplative mood to really think.
So contemplation doesn't seem like embody all of the technology?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like your theology, your perception of God, but again, it's just being consciously aware of why you are acting the way you are acting.
So it's more like a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like a contemplative lifestyle.
Yeah. So
maybe I shouldn't call my this thing slow living. Contemplative living.
Yeah.
I don't like that sound of slow. I don't want to be slow in Jesus. Reading.
Yeah, so reading is also writing. Writing is also a good tool for manifestation.
So if you can say reading and writing are good tools for manifestation, you can also say something like cooking is a good tool for manifestation. Just living life.
Yeah, living life or being present, being aware, play. Dance, and then talking about technology. So then,
I want good sowing seed. Talk about sowing seeds.
So I feel like let me go call it seed sowing, but more like I feel it's partaking of the divine nature. I feel like when I give, right, I'm doing what God does.
Giving
generally or being generous.
Okay.
So when I am in a state of generosity, I am in a state of I am in my divine element. right? I am giving because of I have abundance. It's kind of like a statement you are making to yourself that I am a wealthy person. I give, like, and my money does not run out.
I remember something AB said that it was like, when you know, when you said somebody, then I have nobody, then I have everybody. So AB sort of explained that when you give, it's like you're giving to yourself because you're like, everyone, oh, okay, now I get, now I get it.
Yeah, you get. So it's so for me, giving is kind of like an expression of our divinity. Hmm. Right, so God, for God so loved the world
that He gave
His Son, or He gave Himself,
He gave Himself.
So, and we, when we give ourselves, whether it's our money, our time, or anything, we are
an extension of ourselves.
We are basically making a statement that we are divine.
Oh,
and our stuff. And
please,
our,
what have we received?
What
of when we receive?
So when we receive again, we are again accepting our neighbors, right? Accepting the divinity of our neighbors.
Yeah, squeeze.
Yeah, yeah. So we are really like making also a statement that
make it sound this thing now. Someone that receive, I'll be feeling good. You're not giving that as spiritual as giving.
Yeah, so yeah, that you're just that fountain that, you know, it goes, it comes. It's just like that.
Yes,
roof,
yes,
right?
God.
It's a fountain, right? You give, you get, and it just continues, world without end. Amen.
It's fasting, isn't
it? Yeah, okay. So fasting is also a technology. Yes, of course. Fasting is yeah, I mean,
it depends on how we're using it, right?
Yeah, it depends on how you're using it. Again, it's just perception, understanding. Yeah, so we are not, you know, if you notice all these technologies, we are not doing it like we want to.
What something?
Twist God.
Right? To pull something.
So many times it's just, so sometimes it's even our mastery over our body. Yeah, that's of the fast, you know, that, you know, I am not just what I eat, right? I am more. Oh, like this guy does fasting a lot, Kebi.
Mm.
Right, so when he does his fast, after fasting for like 30 days, he go and run half marathon. Like,
but I just fasted, I stayed off Facebook that I love for 3 months. That is 3 months fast. Yeah. People should give me my accolades.
So fasting is
I think it should be done with purpose, like deliberate purpose, not like every month feast or fast.
Yeah, so intentionality.
Yes, intentionality.
So those are some of how to
About tools? I feel like, why didn't you write this in what you're talking about? I feel like I'm remembering a lot of tools.
No, so there are a lot. We can't of course exhaust them.
It's Thanksgiving too.
Yeah, so gratitude.
Oh yeah, when you're talking about high energy, so
yeah. So yeah, gratitude. When we are in a state of gratitude, it helps align our hearts and our head waves, you know, entering into, is it alpha or a state of high energy frequency when we are thankful. So it's a good tool for manifestation, gratitude.
I thought praise and worship.
Yeah, gratitude, it improves your optimism, right? You become optimistic when you are very, very thankful to practice gratitude. So like, Jim Quick talked about having a gratitude journal. Where in the morning you write 3 things you are grateful for, and at night write 3 things you are grateful for.
Why are you just telling me about this thing?
When I talk to you now, you just say I should get out. Yeah, so remember, it's 32 minutes. Like, this is the longest podcast ever. Yeah, so there is a lot to still talk about. And yeah, so...
No, we'll do part two.
So maybe you just... again, like, we've mentioned names. Yeah, go and see what they have said.
And if you have any tools we didn't mention, let us know!
So I still mentioned Dr. Caroline Leaf, right? She has a switch on your brain. So there are some technologies there. Then, what's his name? Taylor Remington on Christian meditation. Really good book. I think about meditate and stuff.
Does he have an audio, a meditation audio? Because why would you have a book, you have audio that the regular can use?
I don't know. Then, so Kebi is a good guy, like, you know, explaining spirituality. In fact, he has a whole website on practical meditation.
I like Kirby. Kirby looks like an Apache.
Yeah, so Kirby
is native really, Indian, rather.
Yeah, Kirby he uses spiritual technology. He used to charge for. I mean, like, your battery is dead, right? Aww. You just like
levels to this thing.
Intentionality and speak, and you see people's batteries in the congregation just like get like 30% charge. 40% charge, 100%, like, wow. So amazing stuff, whatever. Yeah, so that's, so there's a lot more, and we'll, like, continue some other time. All right, thank you. Hope you had fun.
Bye, happy August.
All right, I hope you enjoyed today's barbecue. For your questions, send a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Dubams, at D-U-B-A-M-S. See you next time. Bye now.